Today's gospel reading is oh so familiar to us. In fact, I don't know if Thomas likes this or not, but he, through history now, is, because of this gospel, become known as Doubting Thomas. We have to ignore everything else good that Thomas did, it seems, and I think he's got to be at least a little miffed, maybe, from heaven that he's become Doubting Thomas because of this gospel. When really, if I were Thomas, I'd be defending myself, because at the end, Thomas has the greatest line in Scripture, really. When he gets it, he really gets it. And he bows down before Jesus and says, "My Lord and my God." Adonai, Lord, the name of God given on Mount Sinai. He's saying, he summarizes the Old Testament and the New Testament all at once and worships Jesus for who he is. Now, the other apostles didn't quite do that before him. So, Thomas, I think, would probably prefer to be known as Believing Thomas or Confessing Thomas or Thomas of the Great Theological Discourse. Instead, he becomes known as Doubting Thomas. But I think he's in heaven, so he can be happy regardless. But I think this gospel is here, of all the gospels, for us. And I love it because we can read the story, and it's as though we're outside of it. And we can picture Jesus coming into the room, and there he is, and he talks to the apostles. And we can picture what it was like for Thomas not to be there and try to recreate the scene. And that's all well and good, but we're kind of outside of it, wondering what would it have been like to be there. But then, after Thomas's beautiful confession of faith, Jesus says to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. Who is he talking to? Well, it can't be anybody in that room because all the apostles at that moment were seeing him. It's in this line of this gospel that we, 2,000 years later, are, as it were, drawn right into that scene. Jesus, I think, had us in mind when he spoke these words. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. We like to look at the apostles and think, weren't they great? It would have been so good to be apostle. We could have seen Jesus. It would have been so wonderful. But Jesus tells us, you and me, he's not talking to the apostles here. He's talking to those who would come later who could not see. And he says to you and me, blessed are you. Blessed are you who have not seen and have believed. Think how amazing that is that we are here today. We proclaim a man dead who is now alive, and we neither saw him alive to begin with, we didn't see him dead, and we have not seen him raised from the dead, and yet here we are, willing, with so many before us, to give our lives in testimony to this fact. It's incredible if you think about it. Jesus is telling us the apostles have nothing on us. In fact, he doesn't say, blessed are the apostles. He says, blessed are us. Blessed are you and me. This morning, I mentioned that John Paul II was officially named Blessed John Paul II. He was beatified by Pope Benedict. And they used this gospel, of course, as all Catholics do on this day. And Pope Benedict referred to this line, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed, as the beatitude of faith. We all know the beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. But do we think of this as one of the beatitudes? It really is. And it's the beatitude most directed at you and me. We who have not seen and have believed. The word blessed, beatitude, beatus, it doesn't simply mean good for you that you believe even though you haven't seen. That's really hard to do, so good for you. It doesn't mean that. Beatus means blessedness, to be happy, to be sharing as if it were a little bit in that beatific vision of God. Essentially, our life of faith can never be based on what we see. St. Paul tells us clearly, no one hopes for what we already have. We have a faith that is every bit as lively, in fact, in many ways transcends that of the apostles. It was easy after the resurrection for Peter to say, "The Lord is risen." He saw him. But for us, it is a truer exercise of faith to say, we too know that the Lord is risen, even though we haven't seen. It's a curious thing about this appearance, though, that always kind of strikes me. Jesus is raised from the dead in his glorified body. That means all imperfections are taken away. We all pray with our faith for this blessed day in our lives when these bodies of ours are perfected. I think of that all the time. You know, people ask, what age will you be in heaven? Sometimes people say, well, 33. Well, I'm 34, so I look and I think, gosh, I actually kind of hope it's a little better than this, you know? And probably all of us can look at our bodies and say, gosh, that'll be great to be glorified in heaven. But realize that Jesus comes back and he's already perfectly glorified. His body is perfect. But it says he's got the wounds still. What's going on with that? You would think that if Jesus' body has been perfected, why holes in his hands and his feet and his side? Doesn't that seem like an imperfection in the body of Christ? And that's the key. It's not. Those wounds, Jesus would never see as an imperfection or something to be covered over. Notice how direct he is with Thomas. He says, come here, see my hands, my feet. Think about being the apostles and knowing that the last time you saw Jesus, he was hanging on the cross and you had abandoned him. We might tend to think that Jesus shows up with his wounds and the apostles would be embarrassed. They'd be ashamed. But Jesus doesn't try to cover over what happened on Good Friday. He comes right in and says, do not be ashamed. Do not look at these wounds and say, see what you did to me. But rather, with great mercy, he transforms it and says, see my wounds. See how much I love you. See what I did for love of you. It's the great witness of mercy and why we celebrate on this Sunday Divine Mercy Sunday. God does not pretend that we do not have imperfections, that we are not wounded. Rather, God says, bring me your wounds. Show me your wounds. I will flood them with an ocean of my mercy and transform those wounds into badges of honor as they are in Jesus. See how much he loved us. On this Divine Mercy Sunday, we rejoice that we share in that mercy. We are not ashamed of Good Friday, but rather thankful and grateful as we gather at this Holy Mass. And as we do at every Mass, we see presented before us the sacrifice of Jesus. We behold Jesus as surely as they did in that upper room. We, like Thomas, are there. Today is not the first Sunday, it is the second Sunday. This is not the Sunday when Thomas was not there. This is the Sunday when Thomas saw the Lord, and the same is true for us today. Today we see the Lord in the Eucharist, and he is there with his wounds, with his open side. And as we see in our beautiful image of divine mercy, out of Jesus' side comes not condemnation, but mercy, life eternal. Today, we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to realize that we are blessed. In the beatitude of faith, we are blessed that we have not seen and have believed, and today share in God's mercy. We thank God for the gift of blessed Pope John Paul the Great, who gave us this feast day. But especially we are thankful to Jesus, who assures us that on this day, we indeed are among the blessed.